हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्वमाविद्विषावहै ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 51. To give another example, an animal enters a forest keeps its individuality, although apparently the beast merges with the forest. Similarly, in material existence, both the material energy and the living entities of the marginal potency maintain their individuality. Thus, although the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead interact within the cosmic manifestation, each keeps its separate individual existence. Merging with the material and spiritual energies, therefore, does not involve loss of individuality. According to Sri Ramanuja Pad's theory of Vishishta Dvaita, although all the energies of the Lord are one, each keeps its individuality. Vaishishtya. Right? So that's the thing, is that there's a oneness, right? That's why it has the aspect of a dvaita. But they keep their individuality. So in other words, individuality and oneness is then what's the point being made. Right? So that, therefore, there's something that's one, so that's the mood. That's the common point. Right? The qualities, the mood, the devotion, that's the oneness. But they're individuals that have that, yes.
Can we say that actually Ramanujacharya is saying also Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, but he's stressing the oneness?
He's stressing, it means everybody will be, but it's just a matter of the emphasis, so therefore it has that. So it doesn't use it as a balance like that. But yes, I mean, because you only have, there is one Vedic philosophy, but then they're just bringing out different aspects of that one philosophy. So, because it's bringing out that, you call it by that name. Is that here? Sripad Shankaracharya has tried to mislead the readers of the Vedanta Sutra by misinterpreting the words Anandamayo Abhyasata. He has even tried to find fault with Vyasadeva. All the aphorisms of the Vedanta Sutra need not be examined here. However, since we intend to present the Vedanta Sutra in a separate volume, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 7.121. Okay. Yeah, so just as these others are doing, they have to mislead, because that's the nature of them, because they have their idea, and that's what they want to believe, that's what they want to others to appreciate. So what doesn't match with what they say, then they go against that. Does that make sense? So that's a weakness in all these philosophies. While the Vedanta philosophy is such that there is no verse that contradicts the philosophy. So there is no contradiction. We don't see contradictions like that. Does that make sense? In the way of what the Shastra says, what the Acharyas say, one Shastra to another Shastra, one verse to another. There is no contradiction, because the philosophy can deal with all of that.
When you say about resolving the contradictions, you find that our philosophy of Achintya Veda Veda, it can very well handle this particular situation of resolving the contradictions. But now when we have even the other philosophies like Ishris, then theirs is Vishishta Advaita. So even then, can they resolve all the contradictions?
Can they resolve all the difficulties? Yes, within that one, because when you're dealing with the Lord, then it's always perfect. It just may mean that, because what are they dealing with? all these contradictions are below their position. So they're in Vaikuntha, all these contradictions are below Vaikuntha. So up to Vaikuntha, they can resolve that. Just dealing with Braj, now that's a different category. They'll interpret Braj according to their Vaikuntha position.
Okay, so anything higher than Vaikuntha, they will not be able to resolve. So Braj.
Yes, but the point is they resolve it by just seeing it according to their philosophy. They bring it into that context. So it works for them. Right? Andal just talks about Vrindavan pastimes with Radha and Krishna. That's all her songs are about. But it's still an aspect of opulence for them. That the Lord has such great opulences that they have these wonderful Vrindavan pastimes.
I have a question, but it's detailed. What is the difference between Sri, Srila, Sripad as the honorary?
I think they're just different aspects of bringing out that point of opulence.
It's connected to opulence.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a respectful term. Like that.
So it is very common in the Vedic literature to find. It is very, we find this title quite often in the Vedas.
Yes, yes. Well, it means we always use it for these great personalities, for the Acharyas, for Krishna, like this.
Yes. So it's good to use verbally in writing.
Yes, yes. Like that. You know, so you wouldn't say, you know, you wouldn't necessarily just say Shankar Acharya or
yes.
Vishwanath says.
Yes.
Or, like that. You would generally say it in a more respectful kind of position. Not that you couldn't, in, you know, you're being technical, so you've already mentioned that, so then further mention is you could do that. But we generally, you see how Prabhupada does, he pretty much all the time uses that proper thing. Sometimes when he's mentioning a list of them, you know, so, you know, and Lord Chaitanya says this and all the other great personalities agree with this, like, you know, and then Ramanuja, Madhura,
yes.
like this, then he may do. But when he's talking about the individual, then generally, then there's, you know, it's just standard etiquette.
In common dealings in India, we find that every person is being addressed as Shri only, like the man, Shri and the lady as Shri only.
Hmm.
That is.
Yeah. When they have a formal program, they always do that.
Yes.
They always bring up these, what do you call it? They always use these titles. When they're introducing somebody, they'll always say. It means the Sripad, Srila, that's generally higher than that. But generally, Sri, Srimati, that's standard. You use for everybody.
Because Sri is Lakshmi and Pada is the lotus feet. And the lotus feet of Krishna,
like Shri Pad. Shri Pad. Pad is the lotus feet.
Maharaj, about the same question, like Ranganathji, he is Krishna.
Ranganathji is Krishna.
Yeah. And Andal is glorifying Ranganathji as seeing him as Krishna. So then, which Krishna is she addressing them? It is not Vraja Krishna, it is which Krishna?
She's because for them, the origin is Mahanarayan. So for them, that he's the origin of all the Vishnu workers, of the Chaturvyuha and that. So they see everything up to Mahanarayan. Beyond Mahanarayan, they don't see. So they see Krishna and Balaram's expansions of Mahanarayan, because they're Sankarshan and Vasudev. That's just how they see. Because in one sense, most all the incarnations of Krishna and Balaram are. But when you have Swayam Krishna and Balaram, then they're beyond. They're the origin of Mahanarayan. So that aspect they don't know. But it doesn't matter, because how do you worship Braja Krishna in opulence anyway? It means he's not, because as soon as you deal with him in opulence, he reciprocates in opulence. So therefore it's not. But Krishna, it's not that Krishna's not in Vrindavan with Radharani, they have their pastimes. But it's because you're dealing with it as Narayan, he reciprocates as Narayan. That's all. So that's then how it works. So it's considered part of Lower Goloka. It's still Vaikuntha.
Because Ranganathji is two-handed.
Yeah.
And usually we find that Dwarka Krishna is 400, so we just...
No, but we see Krishna and Dwarka also as 200. Okay. And it's just per... You know.
Okay. Hmm?
Nowadays we use these titles, His Grace, His Holiness. This was introduced later?
No. They're just the things, because otherwise how do you... In English, you need something that works nicely. Mm-hmm. Like that. So then, you know, based on these kind of things that they use in English and all that, then you get these. Like that. Because His Holiness will be higher than His Grace. Mm-hmm. You know. So then, like that. So then, His Grace would be like your regular Shri. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shri, Srimati. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, Srimati. Probably the Srimati. They're all able to be used. Okay, Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar, with the help of examples, explains Brahman as the material cause of the world. Srila Vyasa, in the Lakshana Sutra at the beginning of this composition, in Vedanta Sutra 112, Janmadhyasya Yataha, proved that it was from Brahman that arise creation, maintenance, and destruction of the world. This cause manifests as different objects. Hence, the effect is sat, just as the cause is sat, and not otherwise. This establishes the non-difference of the cause and effect. Because right? That's very important. That's what we're discussing here, is the aspect of cause and effect. Because that's the point that these groups, they have a problem with. They accept Brahman in its position. They accept material world in its position. They can't accept that the material world is coming from Brahman. Like that. Footnote 23. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains at length the two categories of Parinamavad, namely Brahma Parinamavad and Tat Shakti Parinamavad. He also explains Vikara and establishes that Vikara, as defined by the Mayavad school, doesn't apply to Brahman but to the Jivas.
Right. Vikara is transformation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
See the
explanation. Yeah. Parinamavad may be divided into two concepts. Brahma Parinamavad, the transformation of Brahman, and touch Shakti Parinamavad, the transformation of the energies of Brahman. According to the adherents of Brahma Parinamavad, the inconceivable impersonal Brahman transforms itself, on one hand, into the living entities, and on the other hand, into the material universe. They cite the Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.1, which declares, that Brahman is one and unsurpassable. From this Vedic statement, they conclude that Brahman is the only known entity. Hence, this theory may be called Advaitavad, monistic impersonalism. In this context, Vivarta and Parinama are synonyms indicating illusory or otherwise transformation of the impersonal Brahman. Right? So, how they're going to approach it is that since there is only Brahman, right, this absolutely, you know, exclusive monism, then from that, then you have to say that if there's going to be anything else other than Brahman, it has to be coming from Brahman. So the idea of the Jivas, idea of the material energy, has to be coming from Brahman, because there is only Brahman. So in one sense, it's a more, that aspect is more solid than, well, it can't be Brahman, because Brahman can't transform. So that about Brahman is correct, but then the problem is where does this illusion come from? Because they'll say it's because when Brahman becomes covered by illusion, then you get the jiva. But then if you ask, okay, that gets the jiva, where does the illusion come from? When the jiva, then he produces illusion. When he separates himself from Brahman, then he creates. So it doesn't make sense. Right? Because they say each one created the other. So they're trying to establish that Brahman doesn't transform, that Brahman is always the same. But then the problem comes up is that, now where does this other part come from? Then if you say, well, it's all Brahman, then it has to come from Brahman. So they have a problem because they don't accept the energy of Brahman. That's where the problem comes up. They accept that, that you have Shakti and Shaktiman, then the whole problem is solved because the energy is transformed. So therefore, the touch Shakti Parinama Bhava.
Can we say that they impersonate, they give the same weight to Brahman and to the Jiva? Because
no, they'll always give more to Brahman. It's just whether they consider the Jiva to be Brahman, the Jiva to be an illusion, or you know. But ultimately, they're trying to establish themselves as the Supreme. That's what they're trying to do. Now, whether it is I'm the Supreme means it's all Brahman, so I'm part of Brahman. But if you're part of Brahman, then what's the point of you in your identity identifying as Brahman? Because right? Brahman is the whole, not just you. Right? That. So it's the difficulty comes up is that they just want to be in a very special position because they failed at enjoying the material energy, and so now they want to be God. So, you know, does that make sense? You know, it's like you couldn't get together the, you know, $200 to do something, so therefore, as an alternative, now you're going to be a billionaire, right? You know, it's just, it's that's the only way. Everything else is illusion. Right? And it's just because you said, now you're the billionaire, right? You know, so. But because you don't work in karma, you don't need to show the money. You just have the money, though. Because you're not a karma, you don't use the money. So it seems to work out because you know they don't have to buy anything. So it sounds good. You're a billionaire. But if you're karma, then you have to buy stuff, and then it would be very obvious that you're not a billionaire.
Positive thinking.
Yes, positive thinking. The original positive thinkers. Yes.
When they say that in Brahma Parinama, Brahman transforms into Jiva and Prakriti, then do they mean that Brahman now completely vanishes and now only
does Brahman vanish? No, a portion of Brahman. It's just like
that's
the pot.
A portion of Brahman.
A portion of Brahman. Because Brahman's unlimited, so you know, material energy is not unlimited, so a portion of Brahman.
Okay.
That's there, right? Like the pot. You have the pot and then the air. So part of the air is in the pot. So you identify it as a pot, that is a pot. But when you break the pot, then it merges into the air and it's all one again. It's not restricted by the pot.
Yes, yeah, so their philosophy is quite close to our philosophy also. Because
all philosophies are close to our philosophy, but close is not good enough. You know, it's like when you're eating and you almost get it to your mouth. You know, it's like, well, it's almost the same as when we eat, you know. You know what I'm saying? So when you're dealing on the material platform, unless it's 100%, you have nothing. That's just how it goes. Only in the spiritual platform, then if you have 10%, you actually have 10%. But on the material platform, until you have 100%, you don't have 10%. Right? So that's what our idea is, that all of us together, then we make up Brahman. So if we all go back together, so what's the point of me merging in Brahman? Because then I'll only be 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair Brahman. And I need all the other ones to merge to actually get back to the full Brahman. So they end up with all kinds, every time they try to solve a problem, it just makes another one. Right? It's like Prahlad Maharaj says about disease. The cure is worse than the disease. You know, so the Brahma Parinama Vada is not good, but at least it keeps it all focused on Brahman, and you have a central point you can go from. But as they try to solve that, they create a solution that creates more problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then they make a solution to that, and it just goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
So it never works. The point is based on the Veda, that's why it's similar.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But that doesn't make it the same. Right, but that's why in logic, then you can absorb the other philosophy into yours, right? In Upanaya, because they are all based on the Shastra, so they all do have some commonality. Otherwise, how do you discuss? Right? Can you discuss Vedanta philosophy with, let's say, some New Age politically correct person? No, because there's no common ground.
You cannot discuss anything.
Yeah, you can't discuss anything. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. The second group, Tat Shakti Parinama Vada, states that Tat, Brahman, does not accept transformation. but that the Achintya Shakti of Brahman is transformed partly into the Jiva Shakti, which manifests the Jivas, and partly into the Maya Shakti, which manifests the material universe. So partly means the spiritual position still remains.
Yes.
So it's just a portion that's there.
Mm-hmm.
If this view is acknowledged, then Brahman himself does not become transformed. Thus, Sadananda writes in his commentary, Vedanta Sar 59, if the source is the absolute, then anything generated out of the absolute is also an entity partaking of the absolute nature. But the intelligence identifies the generated entity as distinct from its origin. This is known as vikara, transformation. Right? So it has a similar aspect of nature, but you can identify there's a difference, right? Because it says through intelligence. Because intelligence tells what's the same about things and what's different about things. Right? That's how it works. That's the two functions that the intelligence does. Right? What's the similarity and what's the difference? And so here, that's what we have to be able to do both. Right? All these different philosophies, they do one or the other. But we do both. So you can see is that everybody's on that absolute platform, but at the same time there's a distinction. Krishna's unlimited, we're not. Right? He's independent, we're not. He's the controller of energies, we're controlled by. So that's the difference.
This Shakti Parinava is taking to deify the position of...
Is Shakti Parinamabha deifying?
No,
it's just stating the fact that Brahman doesn't transform, but Brahman has his energy, so the Achintya Shakti. The Achintya Shakti, by Krishna's will, then is transformed.
Yes.
So these have these aspects to them. So it's not a deification. Because that is the position. So that's the point, is he's involved, but he's not. He is the whole creation, but he's not. Right? He is, but he's different from. Right? So in other words, as his energies, he is. As a personality, he's different. Like Prabhupada gives the example of the businessman. He has his money, so it's not different from him. It's running his businesses. But at the same time, he as a person is different from the business and from that money. That makes sense. Yeah, so money is like the Brahman aspect, the business is like the Paramatma aspect, because it has the rules, it's functioning using the principle of money. Like that. So, yeah.
Maharaj, in order to accept that, we need to understand the Achintya aspect of Krishna.
Yes, the Achintya. That's why in the philosophy, Achintya Veda Veda Tantra. It's not just Veda Veda, because then you have Dvait Advait.
Yes.
But you don't have achintya as part of that dvait advait. So that's the point, is you're looking at it one, you're looking at it two, but you're not looking at it simultaneously both together.
Yes.
That then, the achintya then has to be appreciated.
But in order to get that aspect of achintya, we need to receive that mercy.
Yes, that's the importance of parampara. That's why it's about the mood that you pick up. It's not about the logic, the intelligence, the knowledge, the skill. It's about the connection. It's just like the machine. How much skill does the machine have? Right? There's so much skill in it. What it can do, the different varieties. But can it do any of that if it's not plugged in? So that's the whole point, is that all this knowledge and skill and everything we have, it's doing nothing in the material world. It seems like it's transforming, it's doing a lot of things, but it's like transformation within a dream. The one that always annoys me is, how it means you go, it must come from airports and schools and stuff like that. You have to go into the stalls in the toilet. So at least in the, you see them here, and a lot of times the American ones, is the door opens in, really annoying. Right? It should open out, like the continental European one. Because otherwise you can't get your bags and can't get it. There's no space, whatever it is. So whatever, that's another point. So you go in, right? then you have to turn around and close the door and lock it.
Yes.
Right? So, in a dream, you go into the bathroom, into the toilet. When you turn around, you're out in the field. Huh?
Yes.
Well, no, yeah, well, that's another thing. But if the point comes is that because you're sleeping and you need to go to the bathroom, but until you get up and go to the bathroom, the problem doesn't go away. So you can go into the bathroom all you want, but you'll always find out you're not in the bathroom. So, yeah, so that's Vikara.
That's Vikara.
So, therefore, the Vikara in the material world is doing nothing. Because Sat means the soul, means Brahman. That's eternal. But the manifestations of the material are not. Therefore, that's asat. So therefore, the sat-asat aspect. It's not that it's not a fact and exists, but there's an illusion about it. You know, so then trying to explain the illusion, then they come up with the other one, not Vikara. What's the other aspect?
Vivarta.
Right, so that's them trying to establish that, and then they end up in another stage. You know, so it just gets to be a big mess. So the point is now when you connect it to Krishna through the parampara, now all that knowledge and skills and endeavors and results and experiences now connected to Krishna through the parampara, in that particular mood, now it gives a real or eternal result. Means the medium is through, may not be, but it gives a result that's eternal. Because it's just like this. Let us say you do something and it makes you happy. You really care if the thing that you did, if you can remain happy eternally, do you really care if the thing that you did remains or not? Just like if I had a good meal, do I care that the meal's gone as long as I'm happy forever? No. The problem, the lamentation comes up is because the happiness goes away and then you have to go through the process again.
Yes.
So in the spiritual world, you do an activity, it produces a result, but it's the experience of the result that's important, not the result itself. Right? So then that experience of the result in the spiritual world is eternal. You do something that makes you happy, that happiness lasts eternally. Because it's in connection with Krishna, who's eternal. And you're seeing all the energies in connection with Krishna, so therefore they act in that eternal way.
Right. And what motivates you to act there? Because here we act because we want the result. In this sense, we want the experience. And there, if the experience lasts forever, mm-hmm. What motivates one to act?
So is it about yourself or is it about Krishna?
About Krishna, about the experience.
Yeah, but the point is that if it's about Krishna, then it's about the experience for who?
For both.
We're talking Braj.
No, I'm not talking that you want the experience, but you experience that.
You experience it, but who? It's like this. If
it's also for Krishna.
Since you're trying to please Krishna, does that mean that you won't experience it?
Yeah, you won't. You will.
Yeah, so is that a problem?
No.
Yeah. Is it contradictory? You know, it's like, let's say you have a birthday party for the child. The child is the one experiencing being the center, but you don't experience. It's not nice. But it's because it's about the other person that makes it more nice. Because when it's about yourself, it's not actually that great.
So the experience, they just build up.
They just build up. That's why it just eternally goes on. That's why they compare it to an unlimited ocean.
Oh, that's why they always say that it gets better and better.
Yeah. Is that nothing ever drops off. That's a thing in the material world, is you experience something, and then the experience, then it is gone. Then the next thing. And that, so you're always trying to just get some experience.
Just what they say, stay high forever.
Yeah, so that's actually what happens. That thing. You know, you're doing that in the mode of pure goodness rather than ignorance.
Maharaj, even in the Vikarma, when it mentions that the intelligence identifies the
different
entity, you know, as distinct from the source. But then, you know, bhakti is a process where you try to, you know, wind up this vikara, you know, and try to see the oneness part with the Lord.
No, but you're seeing the oneness and the difference. Why only the oneness? If you're trying to wind up the material existence, why we're only seeing the oneness and not the difference? Because what's the point of oneness in the spiritual world if there's no difference? How do you have a relationship with Krishna if there's not difference? But the point is how do you have a relationship unless there's a common ground of oneness?
Okay.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they both go together. What is vikara? It is a separate, distinct identity manifesting from the absolute, the source. Yogurt produced from milk retains some similarity with milk. However, the intelligence designates yogurt with a separate entity from milk. This is vikara. Therefore, the view of the Brahma Parinamavad that this material universe and the jivas are transformations of Brahman and yet still not different from Brahman without separate identities from Brahman is very distorted and lacking in intelligence. Because we're saying that there's a transformation of Brahman, but it's still, there's no individuality. So that's distorted, because there is. That's the point. That's where we're saying is because it's sat. Because Brahman is sat, therefore the living entities that are generated are sat also. Right? So that's the thing, is that's where it falls apart for them. Everything's Brahman. Brahman transforms, but it's still just Brahman. We'll also say it's all Brahman, but it doesn't mean that it's not. There's not individuality within Brahman. That's the difference. For them, there is no individuality. It just doesn't exist.
So that's the problem in the India philosophy, that they don't mention about the individuality.
Yes, they can't accommodate that, because they're saying from here, that from Chandogya Upanishad, that Brahman is one and unsurpassable. It is, but at the same time, it's not that there's not variety within this Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole thing we can't. But you can still tell the difference between what is the Shakti-man Brahman and what is the Shakti. You know, in other words, what's Tat and what's Shakti. So, does it make sense? Tat means Brahman.
Actually, the Upanishadic way of addressing Brahman is Tat, means that, and that is
that.
Brahman.
Yeah. So it makes it Brahma Shakti Parinamavad.
Brahma?
Tat. Brahman Tat Shakti Parinamavad. It means Brahman Shakti Parinamavad.
No, the Tat is Brahman.
Tat is Brahman.
So when they say Brahma Parinamavad, see, there's only Brahman there. So the Brahman is doing the Parinamavad. But in Tat Shakti Parinamavad means the Shakti of Tat, or Brahman, is doing the Parinam.
Brahman Shakti Parinamavad.
Yes, Brahma Shakti Parinamavad, or the Tat Shakti Parinamavad. Or most of the time we just say Shakti Parinamavad. Because we understand that it comes from Brahman. But technically, yes.
Yeah. We have Tatsadhiti.
Pardon?
Tatsadhiti. Om Tatsadhiti, like Prabhupada.
Om Tatsadhiti, yes. Furthermore, because it's lacking intelligence, why is it lack intelligence? Because we see they're great scholars. Why does it lack intelligence?
Misuse, but
what's the technical point that's misused? We mentioned it before. What are the two functions of intelligence?
Similarity and difference.
Similarity and difference. So they can only see similarity, not difference. So they're only using half of their intelligence.
So
that's why they're less intelligent.
So they want to use the similarity because they want to prove that they are Brahman, or they can't. They have the prospects.
Yes, but they, as a separate entity, is Brahman. So because that's more prestigious. You know, like if there's a group of businessmen and somehow or another you can prove that you're a Rothschild, then, you know, it goes well. No? Yeah, so...
But there is a difference.
Yeah, but there's a difference. That's the only problem in this problem. Is that the emphasis is on the Dwissa, says, well, yeah, that's great. So when you bring this up of the... of the oneness, then they'll bring up about the difference.
Yes.
We go back, 10 generations, and you're this and that and all that, but you haven't been connected with them or their money for the last 9 generations. So there is a difference. Furthermore, if according to the adherence to this school of thought, the impersonal Brahman is the one singular entity without qualities and distinction, whereby is the possibility of transformation of such a qualityless entity, illusory or otherwise, right? So if it's qualityless, has no variety, right? Without qualities and distinction, how would you get a transformation where you have qualities and distinction? If they aren't there, in what are you working with to get that? Yeah, how could you get such a transformation? Because the transformation has to be able to follow the format that works with these things. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then that's the whole point, is that it just doesn't work. When you get down to this level, other than the Vaishnava philosophy, you can't make it work. That's the problem. Any other philosophy than the Vaishnava philosophy can't work. Because they'll always, at this point, the point of exactly how do you define the Lord, the Jiva, the material world, their relationship, the process result. At this point, that's where it all falls apart. The next steps from that, they can go on, they have books and books, and they can talk for weeks or months or years, but the point is at this point it doesn't connect. So I can glorify the machine forever, but if it's not plugged in, it does zero.
Yes. Can we say that their basic flaw is in sambandha?
You could say, but then it's also is that what is the point of the sambandha?
Establishing the relationship.
Yes, that's there, but then what are you going to do with it?
Disprove it.
No. But what will be the effect from this relationship?
I mean the prayojana.
Become one?
Prayojana. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. And in their prayojana, they want to become one. So there's a fault there.
Awesome.
Yeah. But now in their process of abhideya, technically on some levels, it's not actually different from what anybody who's trying to get out of the material world is doing. Right, so the Vaishnavas are also going out of the material world through Nishkam Karma Yoga. So they're using the same thing. So that you won't see as much difference.
My point was that to start something, you need to have a sambandha. That's why this is the first thing.
Yes, but that's still connected with their relation. Yeah, and if there's a fault there, everything else will be at fault, of course. But we see is that you develop the subject because of the goal. But remember how Prabhupada mentioned is that you have that particular attitude. From that, then you see the purpose. Then you're interested in the subject matter. And then what you can do with the subject matter is an application. So the point is yes, it means technically is that when there's a problem there, that means all you have to do is look there, you'll find the fault. But it also, for them to actually be able to practically appreciate and use it, you have to show it in connection with the prayojana. The Abhideya best is in all these different schools and religions. You don't necessarily address that until these other two are in place. Because the differences on how they apply something is quite different. It's just like, let's say for in the Vedic culture, you offer your obeisances. But that's based on when you see the deities, when you see, seeing your personalities, when you're doing things like this. So, then you have regulations. You get up in the morning, you do different things. So it's already worked out that the opportunities to offer obeisances are always there. Right? And then, therefore, then, and where you're doing that is in a place that's sacred and stuff like that. And just by thinking of the Lord, one's purified in that anyway. Right? So then it works out in a very nice, straightforward way. But now if you take that into something else, is that you have the aspect of then you don't have that regulation of that. Because the point is because of the inability to appreciate these more subtle aspects, then you don't have as such like deities, right? So therefore, then you have to create a sacred space because it's not going to be created by a deity. So therefore, you have a rug or you have something else, and then now you offer that obeisances there. You know what I'm saying? And then to see that it's done, then you have a regulated when it is. But otherwise, yeah, you go to the temple morning and evening like that. So therefore, you'd be doing. But this is, they're not doing that. Therefore, you have to regulate. So when you get into this, this is where it gets crazy unless you understand the principle of that surrender to the Lord. So that you'll get in Sambandha and the Prayojana. Because we see in the process, the Abhideya is the last thing that's discussed in Sambandha. Yes?
Of course, but if we take this to the devotees, and let's say they do accept Sambandha, and they theoretically accept Prayojana, but then we see they go astray because sometimes they get something in the middle, some middle term goals,
yes,
or
yes.
They mess up with the sadhana, or mm-hmm. they don't understand really what they're doing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And can we say that Sambandha is still correct, or it becomes not correct?
It means it's correct, but the finer divisions of it, the finer understandings of the knowledge of Sambandha Jnana, that's weak. That's why we see in Vedanta Sutra we're getting down to such fine points. Right, because, you know, so to tell the difference, what's actually technically wrong with Brahma Parinamabha? You know, what is Tat Shakti Parinamabha? You know, how that's working? Because if those are understood, the difference then only then these other aspects of Vivarta and other things can be appreciated. Because that's the point where all these philosophies go wrong. Because otherwise, it's like Mataji pointed out before, is some things they're doing are the same as ours, so would we count it as the same? But because the mood is different, the goal is different, so therefore we don't count it the same. So the knowledge may be the same, but the goal is different. Like the knowledge about the Lord is the same, but depending upon the goal, that makes a difference in your sampradayas. Like that. So they're all connected with the Supreme Lord, so they're all trying to, you know, render devotion, pure devotional service. But what is the mood? Was it in opulence? Is it in sweetness? You know, is it in or a mix of that? You know, in different aspects. So that will create the differences. Does that make sense? So these finities to be able to tell the difference. Then that's what you want and all that. And even now they're looking for it.
That's why Srila Prabhupada said that we shouldn't remain Kanishthas.
Yes, because Kanishthas, they don't actually focus so much on the philosophy. They focus on what's happened, the experience of what's happening to them. But it's not, you know, the transcendental experience that's happening to them. You know? So, it, not that that transcendental experience is not there and part of what's going on. But it's just not... it's not the predominant aspect. At moments it will be. If you're in the temple, there's a nice darshan or kirtan or class. Then there may be those moments that we are. So that's why the association is so important. But outside of that, it's not necessarily. Is that? Yeah. Further, if it is accepted that such a qualityless Brahman is transformable, then Brahman is robbed of the absolute and detached status. Right? So, how can you transform something that has no qualities to get things that have qualities? Right? So that's why you have to have the Satkaryabad. Right? Because their idea of Asat, it's not. There isn't. But then where did it come from? It has to come from Brahman. But if you say Brahman doesn't have any of the qualities, you're saying it's qualityless, so you can't get that. Right? And then, if you're saying that it transforms, then that means this absolute position is not there. So how is it qualified as Brahman? So in other words, Brahman transforms, but to transform it can't be Brahman. So what can be Brahman and transform, but not be Brahman at the same time? That's the energy. So we see is that there's something in the middle that they're missing. They see here's Brahman, here's a transformation. They can't understand what happened in the middle. So did Brahman transform? It can't transform. Because if it transforms, one, by their definition, it doesn't have the qualities to transform, by their definition. Right? Because you're not seeing that the energy of the mind, because the qualities are the energy. Right? It means he has qualities, that's his energy. So his energy and him are non-different. So Brahman means him and the qualities. Right? So, but the unchangingness can't change. So therefore, there has to be something that changes. But if there's a change, then the absolute platform is not maintained, and the Shakti is not absolute. So it can change and not be absolute. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Is the answer to all this whole part is the Tat Shakti. That's what's missing in their philosophy. So that's the whole crux, is that they're seeing these two things, and they're seeing effects, but they don't understand what that effect is. You know, it's like the at least according to the story, that the aboriginals are in the, you can still call them aboriginals, is that, you know, yeah, okay, that's still good. They've got to make sure, you know. I mean, it was yesterday, but I don't know about today, you know. So they're sitting on the beach, you know, while sitting wherever they sit, their rocks or wherever they sit, and, you know, they get a nice vantage point. And I think Captain Cook and his ships come into the bay. They don't see the ships because they have no context, no samskaras to relate it to. So they can't see the ships. But they know the water and how that functions. So then one of the elders notices the water is acting differently. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to figure out why it is there. And then from that, he then understands that there's something that's causing that. Mm-hmm. Only then they can see the ship. Mm-hmm. That there's, you know, they don't know what it is, but they can see a form. Mm-hmm. You understand? You know, so like that. Same in, you know, physics and all these things. They see one thing, they see the other, and then trying to figure out what's the middle. Right? So that's the point. Is you see A, you see C, you're trying to figure out what's B that's connected, because B connects to C, B connects to A. That's the process of analyzing, using the intelligence. Right? So the Shastra says this, I see this. What's the connection? So that's very important here. So they don't understand it's the Lord's Shaktis that is the connection. So therefore, then their whole philosophy falls apart. That's why you see similarities, because the definition of Brahman on certain levels will be the same as ours. But what theirs is restricted because it's Brahman without Shakti. Mm-hmm. And we'll see transformations of the Shakti, and they'll accept that there is some kind of energy and it is transforming in that. So they'll see that. But the relationship between that energy and Brahman and the living entities, that energy and Brahman, that they don't see. So that's like you said, that falls apart. And why do they have that problem? Because they want to be Brahman. So they can't be Brahman because they're a Shakti. So how can they as a Shakti be Brahman, but the Shakti can't be Brahman and different from Brahman? You know, so they have problems. Okay. So the first thing is Sambandha, that definition there, that's where then you can understand the philosophies. Then from there, to get more of a refinement of application, then you see what's their goal, because the relationship and the goal are connected through the process. Because only, so in other words, you understand their relationship, you understand their goal, then only discuss the process, because as we said, the processes are all going to be so different. You take one recipe, and let's say I take one recipe, a standard recipe, very clear recipe, I give it to 10 different chefs. And on their own, they're going to cook. They get all the ingredients, they're going to cook it themselves. When you end, you'll have 10 different transformations of that one preparation. It'll still be able to be called that preparation, but the uniqueness of it is going to be so different. Because someone emphasized this, that, according to their different tastes. So it's always going to have that. That's what makes the uniqueness. building things, you know. Yes.
And on the material platform, it's quite common that we can use intelligence that is the same and different.
Yes.
Even at the same time.
Yes.
But suddenly when it comes to spiritual, there is like not working anymore.
Because where's the samskar? Yes. So we only get the adhikar from association.
Mm-hmm.
We're thinking we'll get the adhikar by intelligence. That's the weakness that's been pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
Is the intellectual thinks I'll get it by intelligence and logic. The karmi thinks I'll get it by good work. But it's by pleasing the Supreme Lord, it's revealed.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to come through parampara.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
Because
it doesn't matter how, you know, technically smart the machine is. You have, let's say we have a supercomputer, okay? Big, you know, mainframe computer like that. You know, let's say, you know, I don't know what they're up to now, but let's say 100,000 motherboard, you know, computer, right? Okay? But the point is if it's not plugged in, can any of that intelligence function? No. But now if it's plugged in, now the intelligence has it. So once we connect with parampara, now using the intelligence has meaning. Now using endeavor has meaning. So
it's kind of inbuilt safety switch that they just cannot reach.
Yeah, it's an inbuilt safety switch to one, keep them in the prison and out of the, you know, general thing. But it's also their own safety switch to keep them from getting out of the material world when they can stay here and enjoy. Yeah, so it works both ways.
Okay.
But the actual point is so that they don't bother those who are proper.
Very clever.
Yeah, see, like I mentioned that one time, is that we had these, it was Chaturmasya. And so in this one month, then the sannyasi was just eating rice only. But, you know, a decent rice. I think it was a basmati rice, but it was just plain rice. No salt, no ghee, nothing. And then, you know, served on the floor. They'd eat it off the floor. Like that. Of course, I had to wipe the floor first. But, you know, like that. So, eat it off the floor. Then another Swami came as a guest, you know, and he came to Mayapur, was going to be staying, and then, you know, Chaturmas was going through, he thought, okay, I'll join. So then I put down the rice for the one sannyasi, you know, it's a sober mood, you know, quiet, because they were also eating only after sundown. So they were fasting the whole day, only after sundown, and they were eating. So then the one sannyasi is there, he just, you know, very quietly starts eating his rice. I put the rice down for the second sannyasi, and then he looks at it, and then he goes, hey, is this basmati rice? And I said, yeah. I said, basmati rice, because it was kind of a special thing. He said, bring some ghee. So that's why you don't mix the two kinds of living entities. Because in the spiritual world, they see objects of the senses how to please Krishna. And then if you bring in one of these wayward souls from the true world, they go, wow, hey, we could make a movie out of this and all that, and, you know, something. So then it's just a disturbance for everybody else.
What did they do?
Sorry?
What happened after?
The ghee.
We brought some ghee, yeah. Like that. And, I mean, by the time we went to get the ghee, because the first sannyasi eats so quick, he's a full meal means 3 minutes.
I thought he was the second one.
No. Yeah. No, that one he sits to enjoy yourself. Like that. So by the time I left and came back, he was already gone. So the other one could just sit there and happily eat his, you know, rice with ghee and some salt. And, you know, go for it. Yeah. I'm not sure what happened the next day, but I just remember that day. Maybe after that they ate separately. Probably. Yeah.
You mentioned one really, really revealing point that ministers, they concentrate on experiences.
Yes.
That's why there is no dynamic progress,
yes,
basically. So, by concentrating on your experiences without application of
the philosophy and
stuff like that. Actually control your experience and keeping them kind of down.
Yes.
So not really move forward.
Yes. So, you have two aspects to this to apply. One is that, you know, as we were saying here from that intellectual point, is that we see the material experience as actually a mundane thing. So then we'll see what we're dealing with from the spiritual platform, so that removes the material experience. And so that controls the senses, controls the mind, but it's being done for Krishna, right? The materialists, the jnanis, they may do this, but without Krishna, so it becomes very dry, very difficult. To engage the senses with no taste is very difficult. But when you engage it connected to Krishna, then you get a taste from that. The other is that you just always engage in activities, you know, of the senses that are connected to Krishna. So even without the technical theory in between, it still works. Does that make sense?
That's why, you know, this idea that everything should be nice and smiley, nice. It's not really, it never meant to work.
It can't work. It doesn't work for the people who made up the philosophy. I guarantee the people who made up the philosophy, now they're, you know, bitter guys that are doing something else now. You know, that's the whole thing, is that it never works. Like, I mean, I've never heard about it, but I'm sure if you look into it, the history of all these French existentialists and all these guys that come up with these wild philosophies in there, you know, when they're younger and middle aged, what's their view on things, you know, just before they're going to die? You know, unless they, you know, of course, die in a brothel at a young age or something. You know, then it hasn't changed. But let's say they're 80 years old or something. Are they still sticking to the same thing? Are they having doubts? Are they having, you know, like that? So the whole idea is that this thing, well, everybody be nice and everybody be positive. But what's positive? Positive means it's connected to Krishna. Negative means it's not. And they're taking that as an experience, and then what you call positive, I may not call positive. Does that make sense? You know, so it's like for one person, then let's say, you know, having something cooked very nicely is positive for someone else, and that's sense gratification. You know, or let's say you put ghee on something. For one person, then that's positive. The other person, that's negative. It's bad. It's bad for health. It'll kill you. It'll this or that. No, your anxiety about foods will kill you before the ghee will. You know, like that. That's guaranteed.
I thought, you know, quote this verse from Bhagavad Gita where it says, you know,
is joyfully performed.
Yeah, thank the person will not disturb anybody, you know, say kind words.
Yeah, yeah, so then tell them to be quiet and quit disturbing you. So if you're saintly, stop talking all this stuff and disturbing us. This is your philosophy. Keep it to yourself. Why do you try to put that out on others and disturb them?
No, because
yes, but it says don't disturb. It means this point of don't disturb the minds of the ignorance applies to everybody. So who's going to use this? A junior person or a senior person? The senior person is going to use it. So therefore, they shouldn't disturb your mind by coming up with this new age, you know, nonsensical philosophy and trying to project it onto everybody else. Because you're disturbing the minds of those who are ignorant about these things. So by their own philosophy, then they should be quiet. You know, like that. And if they say you're educating and that, and so therefore, for education is good, so therefore why not preaching the philosophy for their spiritual benefit? Why isn't that good? Why is it only if it's material benefit, then it's all right to, you know, disturb the minds of the ignorant? But, you know, if it's spiritual, then you can't do that. So is this about pleasing Krishna, or is this about trying to create this utopia here in the material world, which so far no one's ever done? Right? You know, the last 3,000 years of modern history, has anybody ever done it? They talk about it. You know, it's an inspiration to everybody, but where is it? And if it's only there, okay, next life they go to heaven or something like that, great. But then that means then you require some philosophy and restriction and control to get to heaven. You know, so therefore, this whole New Age approach is not going to work. Because where are the happy New Agers? I have not met them. I grew up with them. I mean, that's all there was where I grew up. Where is the happy one? I never met one. You know, there'll be moments of happiness like everybody else. You know, and the guys that are always happy, then those who are new age, you think are stupid. They're uncultured. They're uncivilized because, you know, they're just happy with, you know, going down to Burger King or something. And for them, that's, you know, hot cuisine. You know, what a bunch of idiots. You know? So the standard of what is happiness, how often do you get that? Because even if that's there, then the company was wrong, or the thing was wrong, or the waiter didn't deal properly, or you forgot your credit card. It just doesn't happen. There's a moment here and there. And those moments, they talk about it. You know, like I said, you know, the veteran is still talking about that one moment, you know, in the foxhole, or when they did this, and they stormed this, and it worked. Or, you know. So they talk about those moments. That's it. That's all it is. The whole lifetime, you only have moments. You know, so if you can add them all up and get one full second of you know, moments, you're doing really good. You know, so that's the thing. People say, no, but I have all the time. No, they're not. Just spend your day with them. They're not. They're always grumping about this and that. Because that's the whole thing. It's all utopia. So everything that's going on around them is never ideal. It's never up to the standard. You can't actually attain the standard that someone with this New Agey liberal mentality wants. Just as much as you can't attain the standard than whatever the conservative wants. The point is whatever you want in the material world, you can't get it.
Yes. There is a talk always talking about.
Yes.
We fight to be, you know, this is our pleasure and fight and progress.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know, so they're fighting. What is it? There's the 100 Years' War, right? Between the Christians and the Catholics and the Protestants. And getting tired of that, then they have a revolution, right? That, because they're tired of fighting, right? We have to get to the essential point here. They're tired of all this fighting. So they have a revolution, which is fighting. And, you know, because in the 100 Year' War, so many people are dying. So now in the revolution, even more die than in the 100 Year' War. And then after that, then we've removed Louis, we've solved the problem, and now we have Napoleon, who does what? Takes us off to war and conquers Europe. So that's the whole thing, is there's an ideal that it'll be there, but it never happened. When does it happen? That's right, Pallademar says it's talked about. And most you get a moment, because the point is if I have something that's coming, okay, something's coming to you. So it's in the future, but it's coming. But when it gets to where you are, the present is only a moment's... The bandwidth is one moment. Mm-hmm. After the moment, it's in the past. So now I'll talk about that great moment. So I'm saying I'm happy, but you're in the past. You're not actually happy, because happy is the present. So where everything lines up and that moment comes, then there's only a few of that. And so everyone's living in the past or the future. And how happy can you be doing that? So that's the thing. If someone actually is happy, then they'll be called, they're an illusion or that. If they're too ideal, oh, they're too ideal, they're not realistic. And if someone's, you know, too realistic, oh, they're, you know, they're not, you know, where's the, you know, flavor? Where's the ideal? Where's the spirit? And so, you know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter what you position you take, it's wrong.
Most of the people were starting lower and lower material nature, and moving it a little up, appealing like something.
Yeah, yeah, great. It's something very.
At the end, you know, there is not much place to go.
Yeah, no, because it's just that little. There's not. That's the point. Is that the in a village of blind men, a man with one eye is king. You know, so of all the friends sitting around there, you know, having lunch. If one of them didn't have a bad day, you know, he had the good experience. Everybody else is miserable. So the whole point is this whole philosophy that everything's going to become good by introducing all these feel good and be good and all those kind of things. Yes, they may be helpful for having such a distorted, mundane intelligence and emotional experience and perspective that it may help assuage the pain of that. And be able to function in a more proper way. Yes, it does that, but unless that's engaged in Krishna's service, it's just mundane. But those that don't have that don't require it. You know, if you don't have a cold, you don't need cold medicine. Now, if you take, you had a cold, you took some medicine, it got rid of the cold. Now you go out and then are preaching to everybody how they should be taking this cold medicine, how it's fabulous it is, and it's changed your life and all that. And, you know, you've seen the light and, you know, like all these, what do you call it? Where they go around and they, there's a name for it, where they say their experience. You know, yeah, you know, I was this, and I was really, really miserable, you know, so much mucus and that. But then I came across this, and then...
Testimony.
Testimony, yeah. Their testimony, that, you know, now it's fabulous, and now my life has changed, and all that. You know, so you change the music and the presentation, and, you know, and then you use lighter colors, you put it outside, you put a few butterflies, a rainbow in the background, and, you know, like that. Maybe use some special filters, so you get those little stars here, and glitching here and there. And, you know, and so like that, and so it seems fabulous. But the point is your cold medicine won't work for everybody else. If you meet somebody with a cold, yeah, but everybody else it won't work. So that's the problem with the mundane is whatever works for them, others will, you know, does that make sense? In other words, the cultural environment that I grew up in, and there's tons of people in that, people who talk this stuff, then from that background, we really feel that there's something wrong with them. They're less intelligent people. I mean, seriously, less intelligent. Less intelligent, culturally, you know, stunted.
Kind of simpletons?
Simpletons. Like that. In other words, the culture that eventually goes back to a particular area in Western Czech called Bohemia. You know, if you have somehow or another any touch of that kind of culture in your life, all these guys are idiots. But they're presenting themselves that they're the solution to the, you know, all the cultural problems and this and that. But, and they'll present them that, you know, that they're educated and this and that. But Bohemians will consider, yeah, but it's a waste of education. They're not smart. They don't see things. They can't balance things. They can't. But the problem is then they're not happy either, because I think the you know, on the world statistics, the biggest beer drinkers per capita in the world are from that part of Czech. Like that. You know. In fact, somehow or another, because of the wars and that, then Bohemia ends up over also in Germany and all that, and that's where all the breweries are and all that. That's where all the beer fests are. It all happens there. So at the same time is they're not happy either. So this whole idea that there's this universal, mundane solution to problems doesn't exist. It's an absolute illusion. So the only thing that can is the spiritual. And that's why the Abhideya aspect is not the main prominence in discussion, is that wherever you're situated, you bring Krishna into your life. And so the point is that for everything to be nice and wonderful, if Krishna is not part of your life, then how is it actually wonderful? So you're nice to people because they're all part and parcel of Krishna. Or you're generous to people because they're all part and parcel of Krishna. And it's Krishna's energy, you know, so therefore you're using it connected to Krishna. So the point is, unless you bring Krishna into it, all of these positions in the material world, they're all bad. From Brahma on and down to Patala Loka, they're all wrong. But if you connect it to Krishna, then it all becomes... it all works. So even the ladies at Patala, when they're having their wine parties like that, then if they see that the taste of their wine is Krishna, then they'll be elevated. So that's the whole point, is that Krishna consciousness is the only thing, and so you're trying to help. But as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out, because this is not new. They're thinking it's new. It's because of the newest modern thing, therefore we're understanding. See, before the devotees thought like this, now we think like this. Like that. That was in my textbook since a kid. You know, that was always the thing of whatever was before, yeah, we thought like that, now we know, you know, like this. So then it's not being caught that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's pointing out, gives the story of, you know, somebody's walking down in the street and he sees a child up on the roof, you know, the flat roof, and he's playing with his kite, and to make the kites go up, you move backwards, pull on the string, move backwards, so he's going to fall off the roof. So you go run up there and catch them before they fall off the roof. But when you do that, to them, it ruins their playing with the kite. And so they get angry with him. So that's just the way it is. So it doesn't matter what you do, no matter how what you do, even if you accept to do what the person says, someone else will have a slight difference that it's not right and it won't work. So you'll always upset everybody all the time. Right? That's just the way it is. And until you understand that and accept that, it's not going to be appreciated.
The most charitable revolution for nice people in the world, you can get that position. You know, the technical world is trying to be nice and everything, but there are always people unhappy with them.
Yeah, because they're unhappy, because then what do you get? The money, people don't appreciate, they're charitable, who appreciates? Why isn't everybody else doing this? So the point is the living entity needs an identity. We have one, Sarvana Krishna. Then whatever your conditioning is, you engage it. We don't have a problem starting wherever you are. You know, you like to wear pants and eat burgers. We're fine. But start chanting, start identifying yourself as Sarvana Krishna. This will move you forward. Right? Because that's the process. Then if there's a need of adjusting, then you'll do that. You know, so after going out and buying 10 pairs of jeans so that you can, you know, I say, wear them just one pair a day and wash them and all that, then after a while you start figuring out that that's crazy, and so then you see the dhoti's not so bad after all. And so like this, you start making adjustments. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole thing, is that you just start making these adjustments. So that's it, because you're seeing the Shakti is connected to Krishna. So when I say I don't need to change, that means I see the Shakti not connected to Krishna. So it's a material philosophy. It may be intellectually presented, but that doesn't mean it's not material. Quantum physicists, are they spiritualists? No, they're totally materialistic. But they're intelligent. Because they're only seeing the energy and how I can interact and what I like about it, not seeing that the energy comes from Krishna. So how does Krishna want the energy? How does he want to interact with the energy? And we're also, how should we be interacting? We're leaving that out of the equation. You know, it's modern. We're not from the, you know, we're not Indians. We're not this and that. We're not any of these things. And so therefore we can't do these things. It's not successful. Even though that, you know, how you say white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, you know, now he's become a devotee, he's complaining, I can't do all these things, but the Indian next door, he's got, you know, two cars in his garage, he's got tons, you know, a big family, they're, you know, a big house, it's all happening like that, they got money, they're all going to good schools. And they're following all these things that they say, oh, we can't be done, we're in the West, you can't do these things, they're all doing it. You know, they're eating their chapati and sabji right there in Hamburg. You know, just like everybody, you know, and everybody else is, oh, we're from Hamburg, we can't do that. But they're doing it, they're living, they're not dying. You know, otherwise it's like, you know, as soon as you cross the border, if you don't eat schnitzel, you'll die. But it doesn't work like that. So, does that make sense?
What is the when we are in the Western presentation, we are thinking that we are very intelligent with psychology.
Yes.
And what is because I think in the Vedic there is no word for psychology.
No, they have the whole analyzation of how Shankya works and all that. It's just when you get down and analyze and break apart how the mind, intelligence, the ego. You know, yes. The senses, yes. All work together. That whole thing is there. Yeah, no, it's a whole science. Yes. Much greater. I mean, I've gone to a university program where professors in psychology are there, mm-hmm. and discuss the Vedic psychology. Mm-hmm. And they're asking questions, picking a point. They're not arguing, no, it's like this and that. Because they don't go to that detail. They don't understand how the mind just accepts and rejects. Like the intelligence can tell the difference of the same, the mind accepts and rejects. That's all it does, two functions. Yes. Now the mechanics of that and how all that goes together, yes. Then that has a process that we call reasoning and all that. Mm-hmm. But it's there, they don't have that much of a definition. So our definition of how it works is more. They've worked on how to get someone who can enjoy their senses with everybody else, like everybody else, how to get to the point where they can. That's all that they've studied. So in other words, take crazy people and how to get them where at least we define they're not crazy. In other words, controlled craziness, then that's the standard. But actual not crazy, they don't even know exists because it's not part of the study, it's not part of the field.
It's mainly on the senses.
It's all on the, when you're enjoying the senses and comfortable with that, and to enjoy your senses with others and be able to share that sensual experience with others, then that is the goal and perfection of modern psychology. It's not about religion and develop who you are as a soul and what you can do. That they don't do. They just see you're restraining the senses, and this guy who's crazy, you know, is this and that. He's not, you know, so they don't, they can't see what's good. But they'll tell the crazy person you're not restraining enough the senses. You have to be able to share with others. So that means restriction, but it's only because they said it or it's accepted. But if the Shastra says it, it's wrong. So it's totally a biased thing. But the process itself, that the Vedic goes into great detail about. But that we just may not identify as that because it's much broader than what the modern is. And it's more exactly defined and scientific, so it loses some of the, what do you call it? Seeming interest, you know. Yeah, the taste.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jainita Gaur.